If you'd like to follow along with the New Testament reading, if you blink or sneeze, you're going to miss it. It's on page 1834. It's Colossians 3, verses 12 through 15. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. This is words God. This is the God. Oh my goodness. This is the word of God for the people of God.
From Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this opportunity to worship your name. We ask that you bless this time of me sharing the word. Bless the words that I have prepared and allow your spirit to work through them. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Do you realize that you are loved? Do you think you are worthy of being loved? One of the unfortunate parts of Christianity, as it's been practiced for over 2,000 years, is its emphasis on shaming, making sure that everyone knows how big and bad sinners you all have been. And aren't you lucky that God still loves you, the big bad sinner? There are a lot of churches, and probably I've done it myself, that have made that kind of case. Aren't you all totally unworthy of God's love? What does this mindset do to your self-worth if this is how you understand God's love? Millions of Christians have been brought up in a faith that starts with, you are an unrepentant sinner. You are unworthy truly of God's love. That's where you start. I want you to make sure you know that. I want to introduce God to you. You are a sinner. You may have seen people passing out tracts in stores, on the beach, pronounced to have the four steps to salvation. And the first step is inevitably realize you are an unworthy, unrepentant sinner. Oh boy, get ready. You need to get knocked down a few pegs, right? What kind of foundation is this? I am convinced that the church has inflicted harm to itself by placing its emphasis, too much emphasis, on shaming its congregants for their sinful behavior, making sure that every Sunday when you leave here, you feel bad. You feel really bad. I had a preacher call sermons like that bad dog sermons. Because this pastor would almost literally be taking up the newspaper and hitting you with it. Bad dog. You've been a bad dog. Right? The idea being here that people remember that because we really like feeling bad about ourselves. Whenever I preach a bad dog sermon, I always have so many people. So wonderful, Gray. Did such a good job today. I felt so bad about myself. They don't say that part. So what if instead of reaching out to us first with a slap, God actually begins our faith journey with a warm embrace? What if transformation of body and spirit didn't start with shaming, but started with love? Katie let me borrow, Katie Purden, where are you? There you are. She let me borrow this movie, The Shack. And there's this guy in this movie, he's gone through a lot of stuff, really bad stuff. And he goes out and he meets God. Now, God takes the form of Octavia Spencer, a wonderful actress. And the first thing, do you remember this, Katie, what happens? He goes into the house, and what's the first thing that she does with him? Do you remember? She gives him a giant hug. She says, look at you. You're amazing. Look at you. I love you. Gives this guy a hug. That's how God starts. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. These are the words the author of Colossians uses to address the church in chapter 3. It may not seem that bold of a statement, but it is actually quite radical. Because you got to look at this first part, God's chosen people. This is how Paul describes the church. Up to this point, this term was exclusively used to describe the Jewish people. But this letter would have been heard by Gentile Christians as well as Jewish Christians. And these Gentile Christians, many of them, had been told by the church that you needed to become Jewish first. That you really don't belong to us until you become Jewish. That you're out. And here, Paul is saying no. Gentiles are a part of the chosen people. Boldly saying that they too are included in the family of God. And not only are you chosen, but you are holy. You are dearly loved. Holy being set apart, different, like God, dearly loved, is this Greek word agape. Have y'all heard that word before, agape? It's in Greek. In the Bible, in the New Testament, it is exclusively used to describe the unconditional love God has for God's creation, for humanity. By using this language, Colossians is reaffirming how God already feels about the church. This is where God starts. Know that you are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Now, the big question for you all is, are you willing to see yourself that way? Or is your mindset normally in the place of how disappointed you've made God? How flawed, how broken you are? Or are you able to recognize that you too are worthy of God's love and grace first? Are you able to get there? Are you able to accept that is how God sees you? It's not your sinfulness. It's not your failures. It's not your disappointments that God sees. God first sees you as God's beloved. It is one thing to know that this love is true, but it is another to live it. We can teach our children all about God and God's love, but if they can't apply it to their lives, if God simply stays a concept to ponder every once in a while, then we have failed to teach our children the basics of faith. If I am a judge who knows the law forward and backwards, but cannot interpret it, these laws in a specific case, then I'm not much of a judge. Christianity was not meant to be a theory idea. Neither is God's love. If you are truly have accepted that you are not only God's beloved, but you are also worthy of God's love, then that love will be impossible to contain. you in turn will love others the way God loved you, not with a slap, but with a warm embrace. Now this love takes a shape in Colossians, as Colossians describes, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Now each of these could be a sermon on their own, and they can be and they should be, but today we're going to focus on one of these aspects of how God's love is shown in the world, patience. Who in here has never had a problem with patience? The New Interpreter's Bible has a great definition of this word. The ability, listen, this is genius, by the way, just listen to this. The ability not to become frustrated and enraged, but to make allowances for others' shortcomings and to tolerate their exasperating behavior. Holy cow. Exasperating behavior. Oh man. I know my own exasperating behavior, and I know each and every one of you all is exasperating behavior. That's life, right? Patience. That's what love looks like. Are you kidding me? Can we do that? Are we capable of living that out? Are we capable of saying, God loves me, so I need to love another person? And the way I love that person is to say, they're a flawed person, and yet I still love them. I always tell people, I'm counseling couples, right? I have a couple of sayings. I say, you got to recognize that this other person has flaws, and you know that they have flaws, and you're aware that they have flaws, and you're probably not going to be the one who fixes it, right? Right? And I always go, it's like, and if you keep getting mad at that person, even though you are fully aware of that person's flaws, and you keep getting mad thinking that they're going to change if you get madder and madder at them, right? I say, it's like getting mad at a peanut butter sandwich for being a peanut butter sandwich. That's what it is, man. The other saying comes out of AA culture. Don't go to the hardware store expecting to get milk. Right? Patience, love, grace, understanding what that looks like in your life. And you're not going to do it all the time, let me tell you. Exasperating behavior is exactly what it sounds like. Exasperating behavior. But God is patient with us. And so we should be with one another. And this is only a small part of what love looks like lived out in real life. It's not always easy. It's not always pleasant. But it is a better reflection of God's love than telling the other person how annoying they are the first time you meet them. It is our commitment to living out this love that makes church matter. Because we will fail. We will make mistakes, but we remain focused on shaping our lives around these core values found in the love of God. The world around us will change rapidly. The values of our culture shift dramatically, but the church remains grounded in what that love actually looks like on the ground floor. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be bold. Accept that you are worthy of God's love and live it out in your life. And treat others as they are worthy of God's love and yours. So as a church that comes here on Sundays and then goes out into our community like spokes on a wheel, are we going to be known as a church that shames, that reaches out with guilt and shame? Or are we going to be known as a church that reaches out first with love? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.